Thank you for tuning in to Investment Insight presented by McKay Wealth Advisory. My name is Hayden Proffitt, and joining us today, we have Brent McKay. Brent, what are some things that you would consider if you were going to retire before 65?
So one of the biggest things is medical cost. You know, obviously Medicare at 65 years old currently in the current law is a big benefit there. But there's a tool there called Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. And what that law does is it subsidizes people based on your income if you do retire before 65. So, you know, the KBB calculator, what it does is it'll look at your income and it'll determine kind of where you are on subsidies for health insurance. You know, Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act, depending upon your political preference, does not consider your assets. It only considers your income. So if your income is $50,000, but your assets are $2 million, you're probably going to get a pretty big subsidy. So one of the things that is important to look at when you're building a plan is, you know, making sure that whatever that plan is and how you pull money out is done correctly. And so within our, you know, planning process, we use a system called Monte Carlo, where they'll go in and they'll look at what is the best way to pull assets out. But we want to keep your income as you lower from 62 to 65, if you're retiring at 62 or 60. Because if you keep your income lower, healthcare costs are a big expense. And so if we keep your income lower in those early years, then we can get that big healthcare benefit. And so that's one of the things within our system. Now, as part of that planning process with the Monte Carlo system, which is really good, you really almost, you use the system, but then when it comes to retiring, you gotta put a pen to paper. And you gotta build it based on specific situations and build what works for you. And that's what you gotta do. So the system's great and it's good, but you actually know, hey, today is, you know, I'm retiring in 2 months on May 25th, then you want to make sure that you actually write it out and make sure it's correct.
Right. And then besides insurance and besides the distributions, how does the transition go between day-to-day of, you know, working 40 hours a week, getting up at 6 a.m., and then now I'm retired?
Yeah, so that's the hardest part of retirement is what are you going to do? What's the next day look like? Once you get all the chores done and you're done with all your things you're behind on, what is, you know, finding your Akaji or the Netflix series, you know, the communities that live past 100? You know, who are you? What motivates you? What is your thing that you're into? And so finding that before you retire is very important because you want to step in from retirement into that next world of doing the things you want to do. But so many of us, especially, you know, more being men, is our identities and our work. And we notice a big change when that identity changes. You know, I'm important, I can weld this, I'm a team member, I do these things. And that's a very hard thing to transition. So you want to find that. So we encourage people, you know, that's a good Netflix series to watch, you know, is about those communities that live past, people that live past 100. Because what they find is you're not working for other people, but you're still doing something. Right. You're still involved. And that's very important.
Right. And then on the plan that we're talking about, once you retire, let's hit on a little bit of the tax efficiency strategy of, okay, different traditional maybe versus Roth conversions.
So one of the things a lot of people think about with the Roth IRA is they love the Roth IRA because, like, well, hey, I put money in, I never pay taxes again. And that's true. But, you know, the way our tax code works, that first $123,500, if you're married in 2024, is taxed at a low rate. So if we're building a tax plan and a strategy and we've got a lot of income coming in, we want to make sure that we're not converting money from a traditional IRA to a Roth at a 24 or 25, 26% rate to only pay an 8% rate in retirement. It doesn't make a lot of sense to do big Roth conversions at high tax rates to mean that you miss out on the lower tax rates later. Because here's the thing, right? If you had $2 million in a 401k and you convert it to an IRA Roth and then you pay, you know, $700,000 in taxes, so now you got $1.3 million. Yeah, that money will come out tax-free, but you also have $700,000 not earning interest for you anymore. And if you get, you know, 6% a year, that's $42,000 a year in less income. So whenever you're doing a strategy, you still want to take advantage of the progressive nature of our tax code. A lot of people get confused about taxes. They think that, hey, if I go $1 over $123,500, all my money is taxed at 22%.
That's not true.
That's not true. We have a progressive tax code. Every person, whether you're Warren Buffett, his first $123,500 is typically taxed at a lower rate. It's as you get higher, the taxes go up. Now, that's not always true for capital gains, but it is true for income. And so you want to make sure when you're looking at some of these things that you built a tax-efficient strategy, because I still want some of my money to be taxed at lower rate when I retire because I want to get the benefits of it.
Right.
And I also don't want to pay a bunch of taxes and have my money not earn interest. You know, there's a lot of things that are missed with not having that principal earning interest, not having those fields generating corn. You want that money generating interest.
Right. And that's something definitely to look out for. And the financial plan system helps to identify some of that.
Correct.
And it can run a calculator of what would the conversion calculator be?
Yeah, that's one of the things we do for people is we have an actual calculator that will tell you, does it make sense to convert to a Roth?
Right.
And run the actual numbers.
Right, which is very helpful. Okay, switching gears a little bit, what do you think about writing out a budget and adhering strictly to that budget?
So people that write out a plan, people that follow a budget are more successful. It's proven fact. People that just go with the flow, they just don't do as well. And so one of the number one things you can do is write a budget out and see if you follow it. You know, one of the things I love about being, you know, born in Missouri is the show me state. It's not what you say you do, it's what you do. Right. And that really is an important thing because when you're looking at that budget, you know, if you look at your tax returns, you say, well, I brought home this much money. And if you look at your checking account and you say, I saved this much money, you kind of know kind of where you are. So writing out a budget is good, but also look at those tax returns over the last 2 years and see what you lived off of. You know, if you're living off $150,000 and you think you're going to live off $50,000,
good luck.
You may want to work longer. You may want to build a plan for that. You probably do. So, and when people come and ask, what's normal to retire? There's such a difference in range. Some people can make it on $2,000 a month. Some people can't make it on $20,000. So everybody's different. So you want it tailored towards your unique situation.
And that's what we do when we build the plan is we make it for you. It has you and your spouse or just your name on the plan. It is made for you.
Correct.
So, and then last thing, some people want to build like a big capital asset, like maybe a new house or something in retirement. Is there a better time to maybe build that?
Yeah, so when you're doing big capital purchases, one of the big mistakes people make in retirement is they'll have a big expense right when they retire. If you can get some of that stuff done before you retire, you're less likely to blow up your budget or blow up your plan. You know, obviously I've built houses before and they always go over budget. You know, I built offices before and they go over budget. So it's much easier for me to cope with them going over budget now at 40 years old than it's going to be when I'm 70 years old because I just don't have that time or that ability to earn income to pay for it. And so if you can get a lot of those big capital purchases, you know, if you're planning on, you know, building a new house in retirement, please leave a lot of extra money or do that before you retire. You know, obviously a lot of people want to get a new car that'll last for retirement. Well, that's great, but if you retire at 62, you're probably going to need 3 new cars if you live to be 90, if they last 10 years apiece. You know, then obviously everybody, almost everybody we talk to wants to upgrade their kitchen. So if you could upgrade your kitchen before you retire, it's good too, because, you know, a lot of people have a different impression of what I used before COVID, what I thought a refrigerator cost and what it costs now is a little different. So doing some of that stuff beforehand is very important. And as we saw in 2022, when Russia invaded Ukraine, a lot of those building materials went through the roof. So taking some of that risk out of the equation is always important. You don't want to put more risk in your portfolio if you don't need it.
Right, and go ahead and close on the house before you retire. Like if you want to buy a house or whatever kind of asset, you know, just have it done.
Yeah, have it done so it's out of sight and then, or it's inside, but it's basically it's done and then you can have it in your budget.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for talking about these things today and thank you for all the investment insight and thank you for tuning in today. I hope you have a great day.